Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Big Bros Wrestling Podcast. I am your co-host, Andrew.
And I am your co-host, Alex. This is the podcast where we take all the shows throughout the week, we go through them, we run them down, we give our opinions. We got Raw, we got Dynamite, we got SmackDown. Sometimes we'll go over NXT if there's anything really exciting.
Yeah.
I think there is one thing we can kind of cover, but we'll cover that. And if there's any PLEs or pay-per-views, we cover that. We got Backlash tonight.
Yes, that's
exciting. But before we talk about any kind of wrestling, how you doing, buddy?
Been all right. Yeah, just going. Life. Same old, same old. Yeah,
same old, same old. Sports. Just sports.
Yes, yeah.
Baseball is in full swing. We got basketball. We got NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
Don't really follow NBA, though. Do you?
A little bit, but I mean,
we follow more NHL playoffs.
Yeah, the Canes.
They're 1-1 right now.
Yeah,
which in the series. Better than I expected them coming home. I thought the Capitals were going to be up 2-0.
But yeah,
coming home. But Carolina, they could win the series.
That's also
they
tonight.
Had to take. I just think they had to take one in Washington. I think we could win 2 at home, easy. Oh, Xander's going to the game tonight.
We've got a friend going. Yeah, that's tonight. Yeah.
He's going to realize how loud that place gets.
Yeah.
I've heard it's one of the loudest crowds in sports. Well, I don't know about sports, but in the NHL. Before we can talk about Raw, WWE signed some guys from AAA, AAA.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes, sir.
Hold on. WWE, AAA. Signings. They had to sign some. We got Ojo DeVikingo.
Ooh, I'm gonna love him on NXT. Absolutely.
Oh, I got a sneeze coming.
From what we saw in AEW and stuff, I think it's
there we go.
He's gonna cook on NXT.
Oh, okay. Why don't do this to me? The Righteous? I've never heard of them. If this is true, Matt Cardona. Matt Cardona signed.
Ooh.
I don't know about that. That one might be wrong. It just says Nikki Bella, but I don't think so. Oh, Paige is talking about coming back. I don't think Mariah May's still with. Okay, a lot of these are just wrong. But.
I don't know.
One of the top names I saw was Alberto Del Rio.
Okay.
I was like, Alberto Del Rio in WWE 2025 is not on my bingo card list. I would have never thought Alberto Del Rio would be back in WWE.
Yeah. Huh.
But hey, good for him. He's back. Especially with getting a Viking. How do you say his name? Vikingo?
Vikingo, I assume.
Hijo? Because, like, I know the J is a he.
I know,
and
yeah.
And H is like, you don't see a lot of H's unless it's I don't know. Del Vikingo. He's going to be in it. That's going to be cool. I'm ready for these new guys. WWE is having so much talent. Can you imagine they start a fourth show?
They
do it Saturday night.
That would be crazy.
I'd be like, hey, guess what? But we're starting our own show, and we're probably going to do better.
I mean, sure, they sign a lot of talent at once, but then you also see the big releases as well.
Because you see all these releases, and it's like, because they come in, they try to start. They can't really get over the crowd. They're like, okay, can just keep trying. And if there's nothing's happening, then they're like, okay, sorry, we're just going to let you go. Which I think is better than letting them just sit on their contract.
Yeah,
because remember, WWE right now is just kind of letting them do other stuff. Because they have the TNA thing.
Mm-hmm.
They have AAA. But like the Bloodsport thing, I was really surprised they let them do.
That was...
Because... Had this been, like, hold on, let's not say 5 years ago. If Vince was in charge, none of this would be happening. TNA would not be, they would have a partnership with TNA or AAA. They would never go on the blood sport.
Well, I mean, even while Vince was there, 2022, the Royal Rumble, when Mickie James got in and she had the
Knockouts title. But 2022 was also like, that was near the end of Vince's reign.
Yeah, true.
And that was like, and Mickie James already has a lot of history with WWE. I'm talking about like people like Joe Hendry.
Yes, and, yes, that's absolutely.
And Jordan Grace.
I don't think
all those people have like had no. The only ties they had to WWE were people who were in WWE that went to TNA.
Yes,
and then came back. That would never happen. So I'm glad to see that they're expanding more now. I don't think they'll ever do anything with AEW because they're like literally the direct competitor.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think it's really blaming on either side. It's just direct competition.
It's direct. It's not really. You're not. They're just not going to do it because you're a competitor. That's all it is. Now, would I have loved to them just like, hey man, let's just work together. Let's make each other better.
Yes, there is an argument of that.
Like, why? It's like, I don't understand that. It's like, I saw someone made a comparison, but I forgot what I was like. Why would you constantly bash the competition? Like, you want to do better. Like, they should be able to work together so they can promote themselves more, like, even further.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know the financials for AEW. I don't. I don't know what they're bringing in. But it can't be a lot. Do you ever see AEW merch?
They don't really market it.
They don't market it well. That's the biggest thing. They do not, like, advertise their merch at all.
I mean, when I watch, see clips and stuff, I see people with shirts.
Yeah, but with WWE, and they have like they're so much better at advertising their stuff. Like, hey, here's some merch you can buy.
That's true. How they advertise as well. It's like with what I've noticed is that the AEW stuff, it's normally like,
if you ever watch a pay per view,
like a like a little thing on the side during a match. It's not really like you have their whole separate commercial and whatever advertising all the different merch you can get,
or just saying like, hey, we have merch, go buy it. You hardly ever see that for AEW, and you hardly ever see that in public either. I see a lot of WWE merch in public. Like, I'll see a Roman Reigns or CM Punk, Cody Rhodes. I'll see all that in public, but I'll never see a MJF or a Jon Moxley because they don't have the star power as WWE has right now.
Well, yeah, it's true. Like, when you just look at the raw numbers between AEW and WWE, they're like, it's just WWE's red hot,
which is
right
weird because people apparently, Will Ospreay's jerseys apparently sell very well. It's like I didn't even know he had those.
I feel like that would be more for the international crowd, and I believe they do absolutely, especially in especially in England. Yes, absolutely, I would believe they sell really well.
It's also just production. Like, AEW's never, I can't say never, but I actually maybe say never. They're never going to touch WWE level of production.
Well, I forget who was, I think it was Nick Khan when he was on, like, the Pat McAfee show, I want to say. Mm-hmm. He was talking about this and whatever, and it's, like, clear that for the longest time, and it will still be for a really long time, WWE will be the behemoth of professional wrestling. And he says, I think what he said was essentially that we're not looking to beat the other people. Yeah, we have the behemoths, but we're not looking to beat them anymore. We're looking to beat, like, major sports.
Like NFL, yes. NBA, MLB. They're trying to go up against that.
They're trying to go up against that major.
They look at AEW and like, hey, bud. So,
yeah, they're going to major leagues, instead of, like, trying to beat the competition.
Because, remember, for the longest time, they were going against NXT, their developmental brand.
Yes.
But...
When it started out, yes, it was new. Mm-hmm. It was what people were like, oh, this is something new. Let's see what happens. Getting into it.
A lot of people were getting into it, and then it's just like, okay, where are we going with this?
Didn't NXT move nights because as well?
They moved to Tuesdays. I don't know. I forget what the reason was. I think they maybe contracts or something. But, you know, AEW took it as well. It's like, oh, we forced them off Wednesday. It's like actually, it's bigger for wrestling fans because now they don't have to choose.
That's true. I mean, like, yeah, that because I guess people were just trying to mimic the Monday Night Wars all the way back in the 90s and whatever. And say, oh yeah, WWE won the Monday Night Wars, AEW won the Wednesday Night Wars, whatever.
Yeah. It's just whatever at this point. I don't really watch AEW. I watch their pay-per-view sometime. I pay attention to certain storylines because it's the only thing that's interests me. Most of their storylines are just bad. We don't need to talk about the MJF Adam Cole thing.
How it ended up, yes.
Ended up Adam Cole was the devil, and then when, because Adam Cole was supposed to be the heel, MJF was supposed to be the face, and then something happened where Adam Cole was now the face, MJF is the heel. It's like, wait, hold on. What just happened? It's supposed to be the other way around.
I know, yeah. It was real, yeah.
Chris Jericho's learning tree is just not that interesting.
There was, he had some, sure, like, oh yeah, it's funny, whatever.
Christian Cage is a good heel, but he needs to find something else to be, oh, you don't have a dad? Ha ha. I'm gonna go get your mom now. Ha ha. I feel like that's his whole shtick, and it's like, it gets a little, not boring, but
repetitive.
It's like, come on with something new, man. But let's get into the shows.
Yes,
let's start off with Monday Night Raw. We are in Omaha, Nebraska. Wait, no. That's last week. No.
That was this week.
I'm confused on the weeks. It is Omaha. We have Jey Uso talking about Logan Paul because it was tonight. He's just out there like, oh yeah, I'm Logan Paul, I'm going to beat you up. And then we hear, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Heyman comes out.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Oh boy. Main event, Jey Uso. Like, I came here tonight not to disrespect you, but I dragged myself all the way out here because I wanted to say something to the face of Main event, Jey Uso. Excuse me. Uso says Heyman has a lot of balls stepping into the ring after what he did to his family, blah, blah, blah. But Uso says he's all past Heyman from day one, blah, 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 blah. He talks about CM Punk. And it's time to talk about Uso's cousin, Roman Reigns. An OTC chant, and homie looks irritated. Heyman had a dream, and his best friend CM Punk, While Roman Reigns was still playing football and not thinking about the wrestling business, Heyman wanted his best friend to overcome all the adversity and be in his corner at WrestleMania. That's all he wanted. I wanted my best friend to be there. What did Reigns think he was going to do? Sell his secret to CM Punk? Why would I do that when I helped build the bloodline for 5 years?
Yeah.
Heyman says he found a stray dog on the island of relevancy and turned to the tribal chief, blah, blah, blah. Heyman says he's not the one who blew it by getting beaten by Cody Rhodes after being distracted by Seth Rollins. That was Reigns. Mm. Reigns lost the title. And then he disappeared and licked his wounds like a big dog. You know,
like a big dog.
He left me to the hands of the Solo Jacob Fatu and the Tongans. They nearly ended my career by putting me to a table. And when Reigns came back, what did he do? He didn't come to avenge Paul Heyman. He came to get his Ula Fala back.
Yeah.
Heyman, he says, I betrayed Roman Reigns, who couldn't handle the fact that he wanted his best friend to live his dream. It's always Paul Heyman is a scumbag. Not this time. I'm the bad guy! I'm the scumbag! Yeah. Not this time! And you blame me? Screw you!
Yeah.
This was another legendary promo from Paul Heyman. You're just sitting there like,
in the business.
And you're just looking at like, Jay, good luck rebutting that. Uso rubs his face. They start up the a-hole chants. Uso asks Heyman if he's okay after them. It's like, are you good? Which I'm like, I was so mad. I'm like, why are you making this whole thing for Paul Heyman a joke? Are you good?
I know.
Yeah, are you done? What does it have to do with me? Heyman smirks and says he owes Uso an apology. It has nothing to do with you. Not that part, at least. He didn't come here to talk about Reigns and CM Punk. I came to talk about the title, blah, blah, blah. Basically saying, hey, Seth Rollins wants it, and he's going to take it. And he says, like, he wants a match. He'll do it anytime, any place. It's like, huh. Anytime, any place. Jey Uso is like, I'll do it tonight in the main event. Yeet. Paul Heyman did great in this promo.
Oh, man. Phenomenal.
Jey Uso was like, Jey, like, just stop talking. Just stop. He can hype himself up pretty well. But most of the time when he's absolutely. In a promo battle, other than the promo battle he had against Gunther, where he says, like, I'm not scared anymore, I'm going to beat you, most of his promo battles aren't that great because he doesn't have Jimmy with him. Jimmy is good.
Partially, yeah.
I think Jimmy's much better on the mic than Jey.
The whole when, was it with the Judgment Day back when they were going for the, back when... Damien was still there as ever. They had the New Day lockdown, all that. That was phenomenal.
Lockdown. Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Yes,
it's. I you just don't think Jey Uso has a chance against Paul Heyman in a promo battle. Moving on. They talk about JD McDonough. Blah blah blah. Pizza is making his entrance, and we go to commercial. After that, we go backstage. Paul Heyman enters the locker room to find Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker. Heyman cannot believe Jey Uso fell for it. It's like, he fell for it. Rollins asks Heyman to indulge him as he says, I told you so. Rollins walks off. Heyman asks Breaker if he understands what is going on. Rollins prepared intently for the main event of WrestleMania. Roman Reigns and CM Punk lost to Seth Rollins, blah, blah, blah. Jey Uso made Gunther tap out, but he's been distracted by Logan Paul. Rollins is a sniper and has Uso in his sights. Blah, blah, blah. He's basically, he's going to take him. It is official. For the first time in 7 months. The world, in 7 months? We haven't seen the title defended in 7 months on Raw.
I would believe that.
But then we go into the first match. Penta versus JD McDonagh. With Penta getting the win. Chad Gable, I mean, Ergonde, I mean, Chad, I don't know.
This was Chad Gable this time.
It was Chad Gable.
Yes.
Chad Americano.
Yeah, yes.
Ergonde Gable. He tried to get involved, but didn't work. Penta gets the win. Good for Penta. Backstage, Grayson Waller is arguing with Adam Pearce. Austin Theory walks up. Waller offers his match to Theory. Pearce gives the match to Theory instead. Theory doesn't know who it's against. Baller says it's a prize. Theory is confused. He's like, give it to Theory. He's like, who you have a match? It's a surprise. And it's like,
yeah.
Huh? Blah, blah, blah. And then we pretty much go straight into the match. It's against Sheamus.
Sheamus returning.
Sheamus.
Yes.
It's like, oh. And then Sheamus gets the win. Good for him. But after the match, you see Theory and Waller argue a little bit. Continuing the decade-long tease of them breaking up.
Yeah, that is true. It's been a while.
I like how he does this. Triple H will tease the breakup for so long.
I know, yeah.
To the point when they do, it's like, finally. Finally. Boy. We go into the... Oh, wait. just announced Dominic Mysterio will defend his title against Penta Backlash. Cool. Backstage, JD McDonough is not happy that Chad Gable got involved in this match. AJ Styles walks in and says it doesn't matter who ends up Backlash. I'm coming for the Intercontinental Championship. Styles botches the name and says he's so excited and flustered. I'm so excited. They call him an old man. Styles says he's coming for the Intercontinental Championship and walks off. Mysterio didn't realize being a champion would be this hard. He then tells Finn Balor to handle Styles since they have a history. Balor goes like, so was it my role to clean up your mess?
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you. I'll take care of it. Again, backstage, Chad Gable is furious that his nose got bloodied by Penta. The New Day walk up to him. They say the opportunities that are coming to the War Raiders when they destroyed, who they destroyed at WrestleMania, need to come back to American Made. Becky Lynch walks through them and heads into the ring. Becky Lynch talks about Lyra Valkyria. They have a back and forth Valkyria standing tall.
Yes, I will say Lyra Valkyria, she's getting a lot better at promos, and I'm loving it.
Because she didn't do a lot of promos. She's getting a lot better. They have a back and forth just to hype up their match. Lyra stands tall, which probably the last time she will stand tall. Blah, blah, blah. Just more stuff about tonight. We have a non-title match between Roxanne Perez and Io Sky. Io Sky picks up the win. Good for her. But after the match, Perez like holds out her hand, like shake her hand. They hug or whatever. But then afterwards, Julia attacks Io from behind. Perez helps and they beat her up and they stand tall. Don't know where they're going with this storyline.
I don't know. Are they?
It's like, are you on in? Are you on the main roster or not?
I know.
Because they kind of just eased them in. They didn't like have a big, oh, they're here. They just kind of went, go to Raw.
I know. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Maybe this is them. I don't know. But I haven't checked up much on NXT lately to know if like they're actually on the show. But
holy crap. Dude, Matt Rhule, the head coach of Nebraska, is at ringside?
Yeah, they had.
Oh, my goodness. Matt Rhule, the guy who couldn't do crap in the NFL?
Yeah.
Why did we sign him as a coach?
I know,
so bad.
Yeah, living here is like,
he doesn't. He wanted to run it like a college team. He's like, hey, buddy, this is the NFL. You can't do that here. And we have the next match. Otis versus Rusev. Poor Otis. Because Rusev's winning this match. He gets him in the accolade.
Yeah, the...
Oh, dude, that's such a... The Iron Sheiky Baby.
Sheiky Baby.
Sheiky Baby. Dude, that's a tough move. It's like, how do you get out of that? Because he...
Yeah.
Because he puts a lot of torque on the neck. That's where the main thing is. And he has your arms up like this on his shoulders. Not his shoulders, his knees.
Yeah, it's...
Are you supposed to like...
Yeah.
I guess you're just supposed to go like that, and then you can roll backwards, I guess. But no, because your body's like this. You can't really roll.
I know, yeah. It's real... Ugh, yeah.
But he wins afterwards. Tozawa gets in Rusev's face and rips his shirt off. Rusev, he's like, hey, yo, hold on. I can't handle the power of Tozawa.
Of Tozawa.
But he's like, oh, wait, yes, I can. Grabs him, power bombs him onto Otis.
Yeah.
And then puts Otis in another accolade after hitting him with a running, with his, like, running thrust kick, it says. And then it takes him a while to pull him off. Otis. There we go. Gunther and Pat McAfee go face to face. They have their war of words right before their match at Backlash. Pretty much them going back and forth, hyping themselves up while tearing the other down. That's all it is. Just another hype promo for that match. I didn't really watch that. But then we get to the main event already. Jey Uso comes out. Seth Rollins comes out. And now we have our main event. it's a pretty good match from what I saw. Absolutely. Some people were saying like, yes, this is a very good match. Like, holy crap, this is good.
Yeah.
Going back and forth, Sami Zayn comes out near the end. You think he's going to come in from there, from the engine trap? He comes with the crowd attacks, Bron Breakker. But Bron Breakker easily takes care of him.
Yeah.
He spears him. Blah, blah, blah. Hold on. Blah, 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 blah. But Zayn comes out of the crowd. Zayn sends Breakker to the ring post. Uso hits Rollins with a super kick and spear. Uso follows up with a splash. And Rollins kicks out. Zayn rips their heavily table from last week's attack. Zayn gets the crowd going for turning into... He's trying to hype the crowd up, but then he turns, and then Bron Breakker just spears him. Paul Heyman distracts the referee as Breakker hits Uso with a spear. Rollins gets Uso in the ring, gets a stomp, and then before he can make the pin, CM Punk's music hits. Punk loses a chair and breaks his face and gets in the ring to beat Rollins with a chair. The crowd is loudly chanting for Punk. Breakker gets in the ring, but Punk beats him in the back with a chair. Blah, 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 blah. All happens. This is the match ends in no contest.
Yeah.
And that ends Raw. Now, I like the ending because it protects Rollins.
Sure, yes.
It protects Rollins.
Yes, it does.
Because it's he didn't...
Like, oh, yeah, you're automatically...
If he lost clean to Jey Uso... I would fly to Stamford, Connecticut, find Triple H's office, and be like, what is wrong with you? Why would you have Jey Uso beat Seth Rollins clean? But he didn't. Neither of them won, technically.
Yeah, I mean,
If you want to get technical, Rollins won by DQ. But it says no contest because he didn't call for the bell. It just ended. Yeah. So... Like I said, it protects Rollins, and it kind of protects Jey too. Where do they go with this? I don't know. I still think they need a third member. Don't know who it's going to be, though. It'd be really funny to say he just pulls a fast one on Punk. He says, oh, by the way.
That would...
It won't happen after what just happened. I don't think that's what it's going to be. Sami Zayn's really like, no, I don't want to join Paul Heyman. Are you kidding me? I already joined him once, and I got away from him. Because if it's not Sami Zayn, and they do get a third member, who is the most likely person right now on the main roster?
I don't know.
It could now be Trick Williams, because he's a heel.
Yes.
I was like, Trick Williams did a heel turn by attacking Joe Hendry multiple times.
There's that.
I'm trying to think. Because I don't want someone like Sami Zayn. Mainly because I don't like Sami Zayn. I don't like him. I'm sorry if you guys do love Sami Zayn. I don't like Sami Zayn. He gets annoying.
There's a little bit where there have been some storylines where, like, oh, what was it? There was one after he won the Intercontinental. Was it the night he lost? Or one of his defenses before he lost, whatever, he came, it was like, the commentators were like, yeah, Sami Zayn, even though he's a champion, still feels like the underdog or whatever.
He has his
that part, yes, I agree.
Because he constantly paints himself as an underdog. Like, dude, you were one of the top stars in the business. You're constantly getting booked. You're constantly getting wins. Stop painting yourself as an underdog.
Yeah, that part I don't like. I mean, I loved him with the whole Bloodline storyline leading up to 39. WrestleMania 39.
Mm-hmm. It was very good. What else happened tonight? We have the AJ Styles thing is a little weird, and going after the Intercontinental, it's like, okay, build some story there and we'll get there. Him and Finn Balor have a lot of history, though, because
yes,
too sweet,
of course. Yeah, that's immediately what I thought. I was like, oh yeah, we're getting
too
the
sweet
Bullet Club.
So, well, let's talk about this. Since they're on Raw, the Women's Tag Team Championships, they need to get rid of them. Because I think it's clear that they don't care about these championship. Because When you get actual tag teams, like you had KC2 and you had the, what was their name? Alba Fire and Isla Dawn.
Oh, I forget what their name was, but yeah, you had them, yes.
They had an actual, like team name. But,
yeah, I do remember.
Unholy Union.
Yes, there was.
They had the Unholy Union. You had actual tag teams, but then you released them, and then what you end up doing half the time is like, oh, you're a singles competitor. I'm taking this from Santee, because I agree with it. You're a singles competitor doing nothing. You're a singles competitor doing nothing. Let's put you in a tag team for a few months. See how it works. Oh, it doesn't work? Oh, go back to your doing nothing, or we'll just cut you.
I know, that's what it seems like it's been
going. And the thing that made me mad the most, sure, whatever, they got it for the fourth time. Liv gets it, and then a week later she goes like, oh, bye, I'm going to go shoot a movie. Who knows how long she's going to be going for?
Yeah.
It's like, why? Give someone else the title. It's like, I guess Liv and Raquel have been, like, friends for a long time. So I guess they're an established tag team now. But it's just weird to put Liv Morgan in a tag team. After she just had a decent championship run.
Yeah.
Which also, her championship ended kind of, like, out of the blue. Remember, it was the Raw on Netflix debut. When Rhea went back, I was like, huh.
Well, I get the Raw Netflix debut because that was essentially a pay-per-view that just was a normal Raw.
Yeah.
Because they were doing it all for the Netflix
spectacle. I also did like how that ended the Rhea Liv feud.
More or less, from what it seems like, yes.
It pretty much did end it because like they haven't touched it since. Because I would be mad if they did all that, and then Liv wins Elimination Chamber and goes out to Rhea. It's like, then it wouldn't have made sense to me. But I'm glad that's happening. Just Paul Heyman continuing to show he's one of the best on the mic ever.
Oh man, absolutely.
I'm just sitting here like, oh my gosh, Paul Heyman's right about everything he's saying. It's like, I built a bloodline for 5 years. You think I'm just going to sell secrets just because CM Punk comes back? Also, CM Punk put me in a bad spot, too. Yeah, he's my best friend. It's like, hold on. I've been this guy's wise man for the past 4.5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's all kinds of things. But this is a good go-home Raw for before Backlash.
Absolutely.
We will see how SmackDown does in a moment. But you have anything to add for...
I was just looking up some of the Liv Morgan stuff, and it says the movie she's filming, it's expected to be finished filming next Friday, and then she's expected to be back on the States a day later. That's when
it's expected. Do we know what movie she's filming?
It's called... What was it? Bad Lieutenant Tokyo.
Bad Lieutenant Tokyo?
Yes.
Hold on. I gotta look that up.
Yeah, not much. This is, of course, the filming stage, so I don't think a lot has come out about it, but at least from the stuff I've been reading, it's...
A gambling industry Tokyo cop.
Yes.
FBI agent search for a missing politician's daughter while a mysterious killer. Let me look at... There's three confirmed cast. Lily James.
Yeah.
her, Liv Morgan, and Shun Oguri.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the only thing I got. Just look up that.
And the only thing for NXT I saw was they had a battle royal to determine the number one contender for the NXT. Was it NXT or TNA championship? Because he's been constantly attacking Joe Hendry.
Huh. I it's been a hot minute since I've seen anything NXT, I'll be honest.
No, no, let me
ever
check
since
quick. Let me check it real quick.
Stand and Deliver.
You're just in, it is for the NXT championship. And the winner was not Chuck Williams. It was Miles Bourne.
Was he the one that was with no, that was Riley someone.
He is with, he's part of No Quarter Catch Crew.
Oh, okay. I thought he was the guy that was with Chase U.
You're thinking of Riley Osborne.
That's who I was thinking of.
They both have Bourne in their name. But that's the only thing for NXT, so maybe Chuck Williams comes up soon. There's also talks about Joe Hendry fully signing with WWE.
Oh, after that Mania? Oh, I'm sure they're ready for it. He
better keep the same theme.
He absolutely will. If he had it when, I don't know if that's the TNA stuff or whatever, but he absolutely will keep it.
But that's all for Raw. That's all you have?
That's all I got. All
right, that's all of Raw.
Let's move on to Dynamite. This week, we are in Detroit, Michigan. And over the night, we have Hangman and a Page coming up. He and the crowd's cheering for him. A lot of cowboy, gets chanted throughout the crowd. And he talks about the past 2 years for him have been a special hell. He wanted revenge and justice for what happened to his family, and he found it, of course, referring to his feud with Swerve. And he said he took from another man his hopes and dreams, and he nearly killed him. And he thought he felt some kind of joy, but he some kind of closure, but he felt nothing. And he said that in that moment, if he went back to the ring and finished the job, he could get that closure, but he couldn't. And he doesn't know why he couldn't. But because he couldn't find it, he took that anger and unleashed it to anyone who got in his way. But all that really did was tear down everyone around him. He made a decision and then looked straight into the camera that was on him. He said, "Swerve, he will never forget and probably never forgive, but he just has to put it all behind him." So thus, I guess, ending his whole thing with Swerve. And then he pivots to the One Heart Cup. And talks about him facing Will Ospreay in the finals, where that a lot of people say he's the best wrestler in the world. Will Ospreay then comes out. He apologizes for interrupting Heyman's therapy session. And he says it's the first time they've had a chance to know each other for as long as they've done stuff with the company. Will Ospreay's done stuff, and Hangman's been with the company. Yeah, it's the first time they've really been in the ring or been in the ring together like this. And he's I know how much it means to him. One of Ospreay's favorite moments, he says, is when Hangman took the Dark Order and showed him what it takes to be a cowboy. Showed him leadership and everything. And then how Hangman won the world championship. It was perfect. And then he talks about when everything fell apart. But he saw something when Hangman beat Kyle Fletcher. Something people haven't seen for a long time. He smiled. Hangman smiled. And everyone wants Hangman to go and claim the spot of the main character. But Ospreay has a problem with that. Because come Double or Nothing, he's not losing. He goes on, he gets a real intense, and he's talking about, Ospreay talks about all the people he's destroyed, including, people Hangman's destroyed, including Swerve Strickland, and Ospreay doing all the meet and greets and stuff, and he talks about, when they ring the bell, he shows that everyone the best, we're the best wrestle. And this isn't about Hangman's redemption. It's too little too late. This is about Ospreay's ascension. Which, a hard line. Then, cue the Don Callis family. They're not gone just yet. Don Callis got some records, says, that's enough, whatever. I'm going to send two of my best guys to face you two next week at Beach Break. Hangman was a little hesitant to get into this. But it's still confirmed, or that it'll be Hangman Ospreay versus I don't know who of the Don Callis family at Beach Break next week.
Cool.
Then we get FTR and Stokely coming out to confront Tony Schiavone. They're asking Schiavone if he has a problem with the combination of them. They've apologized. The main thing is, Schiavone continues to run them down, even calling Stokely a snake in the grass. Stokely was about to say something, but then Tony Schiavone stands up from the table and gets in their faces. But then FTR steps forward. Cash said he showed a little sympathy for Garcia or his questions about what FTR did what they did. Then Dax gave Tony a simple message. Tell Nigel McGuinness that FTR will see him tomorrow for a live edition of AEW Collision. So, there was that. We get Anna Jay and Harley Cameron, little something backstage. Which then leads into a four-way women's AEW Championship Eliminator match. Tony Storm coming in this, taking on Thunder Rosa, Anna Jay, and Penelope Ford. And Tony Storm, who's perfect in these, and in the end, stays perfect. Not without a little bit with Megan Bain interfering or getting in the mix and stuff. But still, Tony Storm stays 12-0 with that. And then we have the Hurt Syndicate. They come out there. They grab a mic. MVP introduces, of course, the Standard of Excellence and the Almighty. And he essentially issues an open challenge saying, who has it to take the titles? Top Flight come out. They talk about how they've been downswing, they want it back, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't really matter because MJF then comes out from behind. He attacks both of them. I forget who it was. He breaks one of their foreheads open. And then he takes the power of them, but before he takes blood, smears it on he's wearing a white tank top, not his usual suit that he wears. Power bombs on the apron. He gets in, asks for the mic. MVP gives it to him. He just says simply, "I hurt people," and crowd erupts and everything. Lashley smiling. he grabs the mic and says, I'll have an answer for you next week. So,
hey, we got a
good lot for beach break here. This is, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We had then Ricochet backstage trying to talk strategy with the Young Bucks for their match night. But then, as Ricochet left, the Jackson brothers came into the locker room where the Death Riders were waiting. We'll see what happens with this. Then we get Nick Wayne coming in for a match against who else but Rhino. And yes, the Rhino that has the gore, which is a glorified spear. This is really confusing how AEW does this. Give me 1 second.
What are you talking about? What are you trying to figure out?
I'm on the AEW site and they...
But what are you trying to figure out?
How the match went.
I mean, he won. I mean, not...
With,
Not Rhino, but...
With, Nick Wayne successfully defending against Rhino. And then... Then we have, what's next? Then we have the trios match of the Young Bucks.
Okay.
And Ricochet taking on Swerve, Mike Bailey, and Mark Briscoe. We got just these caliber of wrestlers here. In the end, the Young Bucks and Ricochet getting the win there.
Matt Jackson, or I'm sorry, Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew.
I can't say Matthew. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. EVP. Please don't find me and send me to the gulag. Rolled up Swerve for the win.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then we get backstage, and then Ospreay, he's talking about the tag match and whatever, but then in comes MJF. He makes a little AEW shop, little promo there, before wanting to see Ospreay win and then go on to get MJF's AEW World Championship at All In. While Ospreay said, I'm not afraid to face you again, bruv. And he wants to prove that ain't nobody... But MJF's like, nobody's on the level of the devil. And for Ospreay to remember that he is on another level. And then we go to commercial. Coming back, we have a little interview with Jamie Hayter. Talking about Mercedes Moné, and just saying that she has the integrity, grit, and truth. But then not long after, is interrupted by Mercedes Moné, and we have an attack. That heads out to the ring, or just the crowd anyway. But Mercedes runs away there. But then she comes back, gets hit, locks Jamie Hayter with a statement maker. Officials break it up. But then Mercedes breaks the hold and then finds the Owen Hart trophy and poses with it. Then we get Willow Nightingale backstage talking about the Death Riders. When Chris Statlander approaches her, we know all this, the history between them. Willow refuses to address those issues from the past. But offers a match with Statlander on Collision. So, but then we get back at ringside, which we have back to ringside, excuse me, where we have Okada making his entrance for a Continental Title Eliminator match against Kevin Knight. With Kazuchika Okada picking up the win there. And he decides to celebrate by getting another Rainmaker in on Kevin Knight. But then Mike Bailey comes out to stop the attack, but then Okada escapes. And then backstage, with Don Callis, he says he wants to raise the stakes. Just talking about, he's promising bad things to happen to Hangman and Will next week. And then we get Hype for Collision, all that. But then Bobby Lashley's backstage and is asked to give the response now instead of next week. But the Hurt Syndicate has brought in legal counsel and will heed his advice. He speaks and they listen. But then it cuts away to that. Then it's main event time. The main event is Samoa Joe taking on Claudio Castagnoli in what I'm sure was a very, very hard-hitting match. It doesn't look like interference during the match with Joe tapping out Claudio once again. But then after the match, the Death Riders come in, and attack Joe. But then Hobbs then comes out, then they back away. And Joe, he hoists Claudio up, who's still in the ring, and slams him onto the chair. There's a Joe chant, picking up through the crowd, and then there's a little stare down with Joe and Mox ahead of their steel cage match on Beach Break next week, and then that ends Dynamite.
Hey.
So, yeah, I mean, Will Ospreay and Hangman Page. This, I feel like this is going to be a phenomenal match. Come Double or Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what the Hurt Syndicate's answer is. But that's really all I got for Dynamite.
MJF should have gone to WWE. That's all I'm gonna say. That's all I have for Dynamite.
Yeah.
MJF should have gone to WWE.
Well, yeah, that's all of Dynamite then.
Now let's move on to Friday Night SmackDown there in Dayton, Ohio. Really picking some big places there, WWE. We have starting off Damian Priest and LA Knight versus Jacob Fox and Solo Sikoa. Just starting off with a match. No promo, just here, have a match. They are doing pretty good, I imagine. They're all great wrestlers in their own right. But LA Knight and Damian Priest pick up the win with LA Knight ducks on his booty. With LA Knight pinning Solo Sikoa. Protects Jacob, because if he got pinned, it's like, well, he's like, why would he? Yeah. LA Knight and Priest are in the ring after the match, and the Priest. LA Knight and Priest are in the ring after the match, and Priest with right hands. In comes Jacob Fatu, attacks both men, and hits him with a running kick attack. Fatu raises the United States Championship after the match, but Drew McIntyre comes in, hits with a claymore, takes him down. Drew holds the title onto Fatu and leaves the ring. We cut to outside of the arena where R-Truth is holding a Let's Go Cena sign. And then goes to Jimmy, who asks him, what are you doing? And R-Truth tells him that John Cena's in the building tonight. And Jimmy looks disappointed and leaves. He's like, it's my hero, John Cena. Do you think R-Truth knows that John Cena's a bad guy now? Does he know?
Didn't he say, like, something like, there's two sides to every story, or whatever?
Hey, there's two sides to every story. We go to commercial, and then we come back. Drew McIntyre is stopped by Byron Saxton. Drew says that what he did Jigafatu was a message, and he will shoot a silver bullet onto the werewolf. Drew asks why Priest is in the back match of Backlash. He beat up Mania, but Priest keeps getting rewarded. He says his BS about Fatu is the best. Blah, 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 blah. Why is this happening? Drew says the problem with all gas and no brakes is it works until you hit a brick wall. That brick wall is Drew McIntyre. We got the highlights for Zelina Vega and Piper Niven. Blah, blah, blah. The camera cuts to a clip from earlier that day. We see Chelsea Green in the Secret Harvest mourning, but in come Nick Aldis and Zelina Vega. Aldis asks her what she is doing, if he could tell her they are pathetic, blah, 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 blah. Zelina challenges Green to a tag team match that night. Excuse me. A pre-recorded Aleister Black promo airs. He says he found the truth, and the truth is that he came back because he believes that he is the consequences that this company needs. He's more than a man who whispers in shadows. It's so much bigger than good against evil. He says he is here to confront you, physically and mentally. And as for Carmelo, he says, I haven't figured you out yet. Or have I? We got to the ring where we see Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. Out comes Zelina Vega, and she points to the ramp and like, who's her tag team partner going to be? It's Alexa Bliss.
Ooh, yes.
So we go straight.
Is this the first time since the Rumble we're seeing her?
No, she was in a couple things, but she was out for just a tiny bit because she had some. Remember, she was in the Elimination Chamber match too.
That's right. That's right.
So that happened, but then they have a match which, unsurprisingly, was Vega and Bliss win. Like, why would you have them lose? After that match, we cut to Rey Fénix, who was walking backstage, and he is stopped again by Santos Escobar. Fénix tells him he beat him last week, it's over, there's no conversation. Escobar tells him that he knows that, but there's one thing to tell him. He leans in and asks Rey, like, who said anything about a conversation? Birdsong and Angel, who attack Rey Fénix, as W officials and Andrade come to break it up. So, it's like, uh-oh, what's going to happen? We cut to a black SUV enter the arena, and Charlotte Flair comes out of it. It's like, oh boy, we got to deal with this one tonight. Blah, blah, blah. Charlotte Flair's music hits, and now she comes to the ring. The fans boo, and she tells the fans that their queen has arrived. She said she is coming off the greatest women's match in the ring. Hold on. The greatest was 2 years ago. When it was Rhea Ripley in there. This one was straight booty cheeks because you sandbagged it. Moving on. And she needs to give credit where credit is due. She was out for almost 2 years with a career-ending knee injury, and she took her champion to the limit. We see a picture of Stratton beat up at WrestleMania. Flair says she enjoyed her WrestleMania moment, and she is announcing her path back to the... What do you mean back to the Women's Championship? You just lost! If she gets another chance, the fans boo and ask why they're... And she asks, why are you disrespectful to me? It's like, why are you disrespectful to the women's wrestling? Flair tells them that she's the GOAT of women's wrestling, the greatest of all time. The fans boo and she looks confused. Flair asks if they continue, she will leave and never come back. It's like, yes! The fans cheer and she says that she's giving them one more chance and they can continue to boo. She slams the microphone onto Matt and leaves the ring. As she begins walking, the lights go out and out comes Jake Gargill. She walks and stops next to Flair, and as both of them look at each other, Flair walks to the back with Jade getting in the ring. Jade So it's fair to wait. She had her chance. Now heads to the back of the line. Flair looks back at Jade and walks to the back. Obviously, they're going to do a match. Swear to God. Jade Cargill, please win this feud. I'm done with Charlotte Flair. Back from commercial, Charlotte Flair and Nick Aldis are arguing. Oh, what? I might get my answer. Flair tells him that she helped make the division, and Aldis tells her she can't throw a temper tantrum when things don't go her way. She says she has no time for this, and as she approaches her car, she tells the driver to take her to the airport. The door slams, and it's Alexa Bliss. She tells Flair to have a chat, and we cut to the ring. With Cargill in the ring, out comes Nia Jax. As the bell is about to ring, out comes Tiffany Strand, and then we have a number one contenders match between Jade Cargill and Nia Jax. I'm guessing they have a good match with Nia Jax picking up the win. Yippee. We cut to the Street Profits, and they are stopped by Meechan and B-Fab. They congratulate the Street Profits, and Ford tells them that Herter not... They will put everyone on notice. Hurt or not, you're being put on notice. I was like, uh-oh. Out come the tag team champions, Street Profits, to the ring, who have tape on their ribs and legs. Ford says they have been the talk of the town for the last 2 weeks after they put on that amazing TLC match. But that said, what happened is what will always happen, is that the Street Profits come out on top. Fraxium's music hits. And they basically say, hey, we want a chance against you right now. And Nicole just comes out and says, yeah, sure, have a match. And they have a match. Street Profits versus Fraxium with... Well, it sounds like it was a pretty good match with Fraxium picking up the win. Both men shake hands and hug after the match.
Respect, Fraxium. I guess.
But yeah, well, it says both men, which is considered two. So I think Fraxium. We cut to Tiffany Stratton, who is backstage, and then comes Nia, who tells Stratton not to worry about Naomi, but to worry about her. Stratton tells her when she beats Nia, she'll make sure that there's a spot for her on the loser's table next to Charlotte. Cool. Miz is backstage with Carmelo Hayes. Miz tells Hayes that he will show him where he needs to be to get the job done, because tonight is all about Hayes. It's about showing that Hayes is the 10th monument of the world. Miz tells him Melo don't Miz, and they are awesome. And then we go to Carmelo Hayes versus Aleister Black, with it sounds like Aleister Black easily getting the win. Cool.
Yeah. A roll-up win this time, but Miz still gets a black mass, but yeah.
The Miz gets in the ring after the match, and Black hits him with a black mass. Black leaves the ring and sits down on the ramp, and Hayes looks at him. We cut to Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. Solo tells Fatu that they don't have the numbers invention, they need a game plan. Fatu tells them that tomorrow he will dog walk them all. And that's the only game plan he needs, and he walks away. Blah, blah, blah. Fraxium are backstage, and they're stopped by Motor City Machine Guns. They congratulate him, but then come DIY to attack him. They tell Fraxium that they took advantage of the Street Profits, who were still not fully fit after the TLC match. Whatever. We have Los Garza with Santos Escobar versus Andrade and Rey Fénix. I don't know when that match was made, but it was made. With Andrade and Rey Fénix picking up the win. Well, let me get some water. My voice is sounding a little scratchy. So, Humberto got pinned. After the match, Santos Escobar comes into the ring, starts yelling at Humberto, how could you get pinned? How could that happen? He puts his finger on Humberto, and Humberto slaps his hand away. Quite angrily. And then he leaves. Could see another tag team breakup.
Could.
And then we get to the main event of the night. John Cena comes out. He's just cutting a promo. Talking, like, oh, I'm the grace of all time. I'm better than you. I can't believe you did this. And talking crap about Randy. But then he says, if you're a fan, he says that tomorrow's their final match. Tomorrow that You only can choose one time. Tomorrow, their childhood dies. He says, if you're a fan between the ages of 3 and 11, your childhood dies too. Because he... Did you see someone threw a beer bottle at him?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I hope you talk about...
Yeah, someone threw a beer bottle at him, and he stops the announcer, and he just goes... Just shakes his head, like, and gets rid of it. Does all that, but... Cena says that Orton will be like his 2006 drug test, a failure. It's like, oh, man. Cena says Orton is the greatest of all time at making a mockery of what a WWE superstar should be. Cena is the greatest of all time because of your respect. Mm-hmm. He says tomorrow, blah, 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 blah. Cena raises his belt in the air. And then comes someone wearing a Randy Orton hoodie to go for an RKO. But he blocks it, hits an attitude adjustment. And then after that, in comes the actual Randy to hit the RKO, and he stands tall.
Okay.
Go home, SmackDown. We have Fraxium, who is probably going to be the number one contenders now since they beat the Street Profits. John Cena doing John Cena things with Randy Orton being Randy Orton. What else we got? I really don't understand why Charlotte just keeps thinking she can get a chance. Why? If she gets put in a non-title feud with Jade, I'm okay with it. Just put her in non-title feuds. Stop giving her title matches. She doesn't deserve them. It's like, stop. I'm surprised she actually came back. I thought she was going to be gone until, like, July.
Yeah, the coming only for, what, the big four? And then dip
out. Well, she'll come in for, like, Money in the Bank. Like, yeah, oh, maybe if I win Money in the Bank, and then she leaves again, doesn't come back to, like, Survivor Series. Because that's what she's been doing. She's been just been disappearing. But, cool with that. What else happened? I mean, this Fatal 4-Way tonight.
Oh,
going to be a train wreck. In a good way.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a good way. They're going to go after each other, and there's going to be a lot of hitting. I'm trying to think of anything else I want to say about the SmackDown. Other than it was a good go-home SmackDown.
Absolutely.
Good go-home show. Yes. It's like, all right, guys. Backlash is tomorrow. We'll see you in St. Louis. I think that's all I have for SmackDown. Do you have anything else you want to add?
That's all I got.
All right. That's all SmackDown. Let's move on to our Backlash predictions. We're just going to go in the order that Wikipedia has them. It's simple as that. We'll start off with John Cena and Randy Orton. I mean, it's an easy decision. This entire card seems very predictable, but I still think these matches are going to be great. John Cena's going to retain. He's going to retain until, like, closer to the end of the year, in my opinion. But I think Randy Orton's going to give him a heck of a match.
I know, yes. This will be a very good match.
Be really funny if Randy won it, though. I'm pulling for Randy.
I mean, yeah, just get the, 17's done, and then John Cena can move on to other stuff, but...
Travis Scott comes out again, tries to be a fiend. But you agree with, John Cena, right? He's most likely the winner.
Yes, but, yeah.
Next is Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch for the Intercontinental title. Again, I feel like this is an obvious one. It's less obvious to others, but for me, it's pretty obvious that Becky's going to win it. I just think she's going to win. I don't see Lyra retaining. She's had it for a while. Was she the original champion?
Yeah.
She's the original champion. They've already changed the women's U.S. This is time to change. Becky's probably going to get it. It just doesn't seem like there's any... It just seems like this is the perfect chance to change the title. I could be wrong, though. What do you think?
I'm trying to... Because I want to see Lyra with it for a while. From what I saw, she's had it to this point 115 days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This would
And she's been a good champion so far, but I think Becky's got the better chance. And if Lyra wins, this storyline is dumb. The whole thing is dumb. Because Becky turns and then, I'm going to go after the championship. And then Lyra wins clean. No, it's got to be Becky. It's going to be Becky. It's going to be Becky. I don't see Lyra winning this at all. And I'm trying to see how some people are thinking how Lyra can win this.
Well, they faced off already in the past. That's the other thing. That's the other thing you got to remember, is that they've already faced
off. But that was when Becky went down with the NXT Championship, and she shouldn't have had it in the first place.
That is true, but I think it takes account. That's part of why it's making it so
hard. But that was also face Becky versus face Lyra. This is heel Becky versus face Lyra. It's not just, it happened in the past, but but the booking is different now.
I'm going to say Becky.
It's Becky. It's 100% Becky. Next, we have Pat versus Gunther.
I think it's going to be a good match. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good match. Gunther's winning, though. Gunther's winning. Go ahead, say Pat. You can say it.
I legit think Pat is going to win.
It's going to be Gunther.
It needs a feel-good moment.
And it's going to... Oh, the feel-good moment. It's not going to be that. But it's going to be Gunther for me. I don't see Gunther winning two PLEs in a row. Next, we have Fatu versus Knight versus Priest versus McIntyre. Fatu's going to retain.
I think so, too.
There is no way you have him win the title just to lose it a few weeks later.
Yeah.
Same thing with the next match. Dominic versus Penta. Dominic's going to win... Do they do it already? You know what I'm talking about.
I know, but will... That's the thing. I don't think I want it to be where Dominic holds it for four weeks.
You don't think Finn turns?
I'm not ruling out the possibility, but I don't necessarily see...
No. You don't... When I say you don't think, it's like, I don't see it happening.
And I see... The turn could very well happen. I just don't see Dominic dropping the title. I still think it's Dominic going to win the match or keep the title somehow, but I wouldn't rule out, especially after that outburst on Raw, where something could very well happen.
That's not what I'm asking. It's not like... It's like, when I say you don't think, it's like, you don't see it happening tonight. When I say, like, I don't think it's going to happen. You're not ruling it out. When I say, I don't think, it's not saying, like, I don't think it's happened. I'm not saying it's outright not going to happen. I just don't see it tonight. When I say, do you think there is the possibility that it happens?
Yes.
Or you say, the possibility is that it happens.
I think there's a possibility, yes.
It happens tonight. Is it likely? That's the question we're asking. Like, I don't know.
After that outburst...
Personally, this is the hardest match to predict, in my opinion, because I don't know what they do with Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Or does the rest of the Judgment Day get involved? And Dominic wins dirty. Which, dirty Dom.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to go with Dom, though.
Yeah.
With retaining.
Yeah.
But I could easily be wrong and Finn costs him the match. But we're pretty much in agreement. The only one we disagreed was the Pat Gunter match.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully tonight's good. Backlash has been shown to be good pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah.
Just sucks it's not in, like, France.
Yeah, I think it'll still be a fit, especially in St. Louis with Randy Orton being the main event. Yeah, I think it'll be awesome.
You got anything else to add today?
That's all I got.
All right, that is the podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Remember, we're anywhere podcasts are. We're probably there. Give us a listen. 5 stars, like, whatever you need to show us that you liked it. You want to take it away, buddy?
Yeah, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Have a great day. God bless.